This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Fiona here. Our next guest is Cameron Holland. Cameron is the CEO of Ryman Healthcare Australia. And we want to talk with Cameron about Australia's, I'm going to say, appalling aged care system. You know, it's underfunded. It's in a lot of areas, it's unprofitable. It's badly resourced. We spend 1.2% of our GDP on it, which is even less than half we spend on defence, which says to me the priority we put on it. Perhaps we could put some of our older people in a submarine. Anyway.
Oh, I'm thinking of leaving the country when I get old. Moving somewhere else.
So good morning, Cameron. How are you?
I'm very good. Good morning to you too.
Look, this is a challenge. None of us think we're going to get old. And all of us are, you know, Fiona just said she's going to leave Australia when she gets old. I don't know where you're going to go, Fiona.
I don't know either.
The fear of, you know, of a lot of people, and let's be clear, a lot of aged care facilities are well run, you know, compassionately. Yep. You know, the people are well looked after, they're well fed, but that's not the case in all of them. And I think, Cameron, government makes a lot of noise about this, but the reality is we have a system that is in crisis, don't we? And it's in crisis because we haven't paid the attention to it we need, we haven't resourced it, we haven't provided the skills support, we haven't provided the money. Which is interesting because all of us have parents and politicians have parents and bureaucrats have parents. How do we end up with this system that in so many ways is actually a disgrace?
Well, it's a very good question because the vast majority of people that we connect with in our lives have had to deal with the aged care system in one way, shape or form with their parents or their grandparents. And most people I talk to, anyone over 40, for example, has all sorts of horror stories about the transition to aged care and how it's gone for their parents, navigating the system, the confusion, what's good, what's bad, and really a lot of fear, actually, about what happens when we do make that step. Is my mum and dad going to be okay? And it's a big problem.
So, Cameron, what needs to happen to fix it? It's not just a matter of money, is it? It's a matter of commitment and a matter of understanding the challenge. Is just throwing money at the problem isn't, you know, it's going to help. But what needs to happen? What is the solution to making aged care something that perhaps you might look forward to a little rather than with dread?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And look, the problems are broad and many, and that's part of the problem is no one really knows where to start. But a couple of days ago, we released a discussion paper which really talks about particular model that Ryman Healthcare pioneered in New Zealand over the last 40 years, which is the continuum of care model.
Yeah.
It's a model where the retirement village, residential aged care, service departments, and even home care are all available in the one community. So it's a practice that's pretty standard overseas, actually. So in New Zealand, there has been no standalone aged care built for the last 10 years. They've all been built with these integrated communities in mind. And as a result, the penetration rate is over 13 or 14%. People over 65 want to move into these places, which is actually almost triple, the rate in Australia. And one of the big things about it is it does take the stigma away from moving into aged care. If you're already in a village and part of a community and made that decision that you want to be looked after as you age and have the security, I guess, of the services available on site that you'll be taken care of if anything happens, or if your partner has advanced health needs as they age, advancing yourself, then you're moving within the same community. So all the stigma's gone. We see quite a lot of benefits across the board, both from a resident happiness perspective, but also health outcomes, quality of life, the friends and family relationships are much better. But also for governments, we're taking pressure off the housing system, the health system. Mm. We're providing training opportunities for our staff. And because it's a little bit of a combined model, it's actually easier for operators to run as well. It's much more efficient.
Now, I wasn't aware of this, and that you know your company's involved in the sector, and there's actually you've got a couple of villages, well, not a number of villages, but you name them after prominent Australians, and of course, Kiwis in New Zealand. but including two prominent LGBTQI folk in Raylene Boyle and Deborah Cheatham.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't know that. Look, we've got a fantastic relationship with Deborah and Raylene. They're fantastic ambassadors. We actually had dinner with them a couple of nights ago, and they were
okay.
in the same dinner table, and they got along like a house on fire, as you can imagine. Mm. And then the stories and the crack ups was hilarious, actually. great yarn.
You know, as a gay man, the thought of going into an old people's home, surrounded by other old people that perhaps don't have the same orientation as me or the same ideas, is actually quite intimidating. It's quite an intimidating thought. With the aged care system, Cameron, do you think it's fixable, or do we need to actually start from scratch, effectively?
Look, it's a really good question, and one of the things we mentioned in the paper that we released a couple of days ago was that we've got to the point where pouring more money into a leaky bucket, we're going to get diminishing returns pretty quickly. So our particular model, we think it's good, but it's not the only model that's possible out there. And integrated living is different variations on that theme all over the world, right? So, you know, what we're really saying is that, you know, we should be throwing up open the books and looking at different innovative models that can actually solve the long-term problem, not just the aged care problem or just the housing problem or just the health system problem, but thinking about it as an integrated whole, because we live complicated lives. And as we age from 65 on, there is no stock standard stage that we move through. Everybody does it at a different pace, at different times. And the transition points are always after a pretty negative event. You know, people don't move to aged care because they're desperate for the service or the food.
Well, they're not going there for the tucker, that's for sure.
No, exactly. not for most places. They would now. They'll come down and give you a feed one day. You'll see how good it can be. But the point is, it's after a major health event.
Yeah.
And that's the last time you want to be worrying about, you know, how do you fund it? Do you have to sell your home? Yeah. How do you deal with your kids and the inheritance problems? Mm. Like, it's the worst time of your life to make those sorts of decisions. So, you know, we live integrated, complicated lives. And, you know, we need an aged care system and a retirement system and a home care system, for that matter, that matches how people actually age.
Cameron, how, with the continuum of care model, how do you anticipate that will be funded?
Yes, that's a great question. So the way aged care is funded today, most people don't know this, but there's three different funding streams. So there's the aged care funding instrument, which is effectively the care that's provided. So that's 100% government funded, and as it should be. You know, we live in a safety net society. We don't want to mess that up. So, you know, I'm suggesting that needs to change. There are discussions around the industry that's not quite enough for providers to be sustainable. But essentially, you know, programmatically, it's not a terrible system. The other part is what they call daily accommodation fees. So effectively, you know, what are all the non-care daily costs that you and I and everybody have to deal with every day? So food, you know, cleaning, rates, all that sort of stuff. Now, that's currently pegged at 85% of the pension. So pretty much everybody from the pension above can afford that, and that just covers your daily costs. But that's fixed and highly regulated. The third part is the accommodation payments. So you can either pay an upfront sum, so just a lump sum, and the average in Australia is about $500,000, or you can pay a daily rent, which is calculated off that value. That is also very highly regulated. Now, the problem with that is that people who... Well, first of all, those daily fees for food and et cetera, they don't really cover the cost of providing those daily services anymore. So that's basically where most providers are losing their shirts, because they just can't afford the staff, the food, everything's more expensive these days. And to be able to provide any sort of quality in that daily lifestyle or, you know, just basic living capacity is severely limited. They just can't do it. And there's actually no way through the legislation that an operator to charge more for that. So even if a customer, and we get these every day, even if a customer or a resident comes in and says, I'd happily pay more for, you know, more food, better service, whatever, in the legislation, there's very, very limited ways to actually do that.
Wow.
So we have a bit of a mismatch between what customers want and what operators are willing to provide and the legislation getting in the way. And this is where you hear about we have to start thinking and having an intelligent conversation about co-contribution models. because the system is not set up very well to allow residents to contribute to their own cost of living, not the care. And this is where it gets confused, where the people get get caught up in the wrong area. It's just the daily living costs. If people want to pay more and have the means, why not?
Yeah. What is the is there a legislated or a regulated amount that a provider must spend on food?
There's not, but there was a additional fee provided last year, so an additional $10 per day per resident, which was a sort of a budget support measure that was introduced about 14, 15 months ago. And that was largely intended to go directly to improve provision of food. And most operators have done that, but they've also had to use some of that just to stay afloat, frankly. Mm. We've got over 65% of operators in the country are now making substantial losses.
Right.
And that money's got to come from somewhere. It doesn't just grow on trees. We had Regis, one of the biggest operators in Australia, just posted their results a few days ago, made a $40 million loss last year.
Wow.
Mm. Now, that's coming directly from shareholders. They're not getting funded by the government for that.
Mm.
And obviously COVID's had a big impact. We've had to have additional staff just to cover that. And some of those costs are being covered by the government, but not all. And so that money's coming from somewhere. And so, often when different commentators talk about the large profits in aged care, it's just a fallacy. They're just not there. Most of the costs and funding goes directly to those daily living costs.
Yeah. Look, thanks for
It does include food.
Look, thanks for talking to us. If people want to have a look at your report, where do they find it? Do they find it at the Ryman Australia?
Yep, go to Ryman. That's right, RymanHealthcare.com.au. There's a link about halfway down the page and a bit of an article about it.
Great.
And again, it's we're just adding to the conversation. And if operators like us don't step up and talk about it, then nothing's going to change. So we thought we'd throw ourselves into the conversation.
That's it. That's right. Thank you, Cameron. We've been speaking with Cameron Holland. He is the CEO of Ryman Healthcare Australia. Have a look at the report. It's an interesting subject. It's not one most of us want to think about. But for some of us, it's a decision that's probably closer than it is for others. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. If you want to have a horrible thought, think about Macca in an aged care home. Imagine that.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.